to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Many gifts of the Spirit will need to be worked. You need to learn to work with the gift. Because you know that the gift of the Spirit is not the Spirit himself. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. So when you have that gift is from the Holy Spirit, but that gift is not the Holy Spirit. There are things that the Holy Spirit can give us. And we need to learn to work with those things. They have environments that help make them efficient. There are also environments that drain them. There are exercises you can do to encourage a gift. Whatever it is. Paul was told, fan into flames the gift which you received when the elders laid hands on you on your ordination. So the gift of the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, and you need to learn to work with it. If you want to have prophetic dreams, for example, there are things you can do to nurture the ability to see spiritually. You can actually trigger it. A lot of people just wait for the time that the Holy Spirit gives them a dream. And there are those times. But there's also the gift of God. You can trigger that thing. Okay? I was teaching you about speaking in other tongues. You can trigger those things. You can trigger yourself into a new dimension. Some people only know triggering it. You reminded me of the past. It means there's a thing in you that can be triggered. And when it's active, you begin to misbehave, you don't talk to anyone, it means that thing is active. But also a gift can be triggered and it can be active. You know, there are people, you don't know how hurt you were until you see them again. When you see them, then you remember what they said, then you're like, there is an operation of the thing. But in the same way, so you can have a gift of offense. It's there, the thing. I don't know if it's a gift. It's there, but you are walking freely, breathing God's air. Until now you meet Frank. Then now when you meet him, he tricked. In the same way, many of you have gifts. You've got abilities by God. All you need is for them to be triggered. You see, the offense that Frank caused you is not Frank. You're seeing the similarities. So in the same way, the Frank is not even there, but you are still thinking about him. You are behaving. So in the same way, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but it can function as it were that the Spirit of God is actually at work in you. In which sense he actually is at work in you. So intercession is one of those things. It's a responsibility. But the more you grow your heart into it, you learn to work with the, Here's a point I make. It's very difficult to work in intercession without the gift of prophecy. Or let me not call it a gift of prophecy. Let me call it the ability to be aware. But the closest I can call it is a gift of prophecy. Do you know that there are more gifts than 9 gifts? There are more gifts. The ones that Paul talked about were the few that he could manage to talk about in the time he had. But there are more gifts of the Spirit. Now, the moment you begin to be intercessory in nature, the moment you begin to pray, you begin to heighten your spiritual senses. You become more aware of your environment, more aware of scriptures. You become more aware of potential problems people could be going through. It's a gift which is found in intercession. These are abilities, they are treasures found in intercession. When you begin to pray for people, pray for situations, you suddenly begin to imagine where things could be if you don't pray. And the more you do it, you begin to open yourself up to situations. You can now dream. You can imagine. You think, you know, I was imagining this thing, but you were having an inner vision. They're what we call visions of the heart. You begin having a vision of the heart. It feels like an imagination. Have you ever been there where you are thinking about someone, then they call you? Yeah. It means that that signal touched your spirit. That signal touched your spirit. A lot of times that God is showing you signs that your spirit is awake. So those are abilities you begin to experience when you begin to intercede. And sometimes you begin to know that we have prayed, but we've barely scratched the surface. Because you are working with it. There's actually a gift in the gifts of the Spirit called the workings of miracles. There are miracles you have to work. There are miracles you have to work. So you make the miracle work. I'll tell you this. There are many times if I want a person to be healed, I have to work the healing. I'll give you an example. In the Bible, when the woman, there was a woman in the Bible. She was called the Shulamite woman. So she had a baby, a boy, who died. When the boy died, she went to call the man of God who had prophesied his birth. And the man of God gave the staff to Gehazi to go and use it and lay it on the boy, but he tried and it didn't work. So he himself now went there and he began to work the resurrection. He was working it. Now, that was not God resurrecting the boy. That was the gift on the man. Now, how he worked it, I don't know. If you can show us, I would like you to see something. You need to know sometimes that what you carry can work a miracle. It can work a miracle. The Shulamite woman. So, Elisha raises a boy from... I want you to see sometimes how working a miracle actually works. Okay, so when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy. I'm sure you can't see. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. Let's go. Now, he went in. He went in. Listen, shut the door. Because when you're working a miracle, most times it will be weird. I'll give you an example. That's why Jesus was chasing people when he's praying for the dead or the sick. And Peter also did it. Because the workings of miracles, the workings of healings, the workings of God are not normal. So sometimes the way that they work when they are coming from the gift, they are very difficult to accept. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Let's go. So he had prayed. What did he do now? So that's the gift. So it's the gift. There's a gift. Some of you, the gift you have is on your tongue. You need to talk to someone. Then something begins to happen to them. Some of you, the gift you have is in your pen, your writing, when you write. There's a gift of life. So when he has prayed to God, and God tells him the life is in you. It's not coming from heaven. That's why there's what is called the doctrine of laying on of hands. Because we have something. So, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes. And he was stretching himself over the boy. It's called the workings of miracles. Jesus one day, he carried a man, spat on clay. You are from Selu Selu, you are. You can't work a miracle. And then he began to put. So a lot of times, sometimes depending on the strength of the gift, you find, I need time to sit down with a person to pray for them. Or casting out demons, for example. There are times when I know I'll cast this demon out, but I have too many things to do. And sometimes you find the strength of the gift requires an hour, but I don't have it, so I'll leave it. Not because I failed, because sometimes exercising that gift would take time. You need to be patient sometimes. So sometimes I leave someone casting out a demon, and in my head I'm saying, you are almost done, because that's what I feel according to the strength of my gift. Don't worry, you are almost done. But then the strength of their gift is telling them, Mwayamba chabe, you are just starting. You see that? How many have experienced that before? I'll say to you that, no, you are almost done. But then our gifts differ. So the point I'm making is, and let me tell you this, if you're in the ministry of deliverance, you must be spending time praying. Because the gift, the ability to drive out evil spirits is also built in personal prayer. So if I'm always telling you, pray for the sick, it means through the week you need to be putting yourself on fire. You need to find time to just speak in tongues and pray. It will help you carry fire. Because fire is different from authority. That's a topic for another day. So you must have time to pray. You can't afford to not be prayerful. And I'm not saying if you've not prayed, you can't cast out a demon. But I'm just saying it will help you. He has given me authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, my hands carry fire. In the name of Jesus. By the works of Jesus, the sick are healed. I decree and declare headaches disappear. I decree and declare stomach ulcers go. I decree and declare hormonal imbalances melt. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for today's meeting. You are praying like that. So that when I call you, you were ready a long time ago. Amen. So anyways, the point I'm making is when we spend time praying, especially intercession, in intercession, it's like we are working a gift. We're trying to work a gift. We are trying to make it work. It's not just, oh, God has heard. Many times it is us working the answer. Many times. That's why the Bible says, when, Acts 16, when Peter was in prison, the Bible says they began to pray. Now, the Bible says they prayed strenuously. That's what a certain version says. So there are times when, why are we praying strenuously? You find in the Bible, there are people who just said, Father, let the rains come down. Fire came down. But then there are times when they prayed strenuously because they had to work the gift. So when they were doing intercession, especially in intercession, because in intercession, we are using our corporate gift of authority to deal with a situation. So in that moment, we pray strenuously sometimes. And the Bible says when they did that, suddenly there was, as they were singing praises to God, there was an earthquake. So that was a combination of their prayers and intercessions that were being made. An angel was activated. And Peter was taken out of prison. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And there are things that you do in the spirit of intercession. You see, this is why intercession is everybody's responsibility. Because there are gifts of the spirit found in intercession which are available to everyone. There are some gifts of the spirit which are available to everyone. And there are some which he gives as he wills. As you begin to pray and you engage the spirit, there are things that are available to everyone. There's a spectrum of gifts. Some are available to everyone. Some, it depends. Praise the Lord. Are you seeing that being a Christian is a school? It's a school. It's a school. And I know we are not done with dealing with the ministry of intercession, but it's a school. And sometimes even I am always learning and discovering things. Sometimes, every other time. I'm learning and discovering things that help me become a better Christian. I'm trying to become a better Christian, so I'm always learning. Because the Spirit of God, He is so vast. The Bible says, how unsearchable are the riches of His. It's unsearchable, they are fine. But as we give ourselves to learning from Him, we keep learning. Praise God. I know we are not done with the ministry of intercession. Looking at the ministry of intercession. You see, there are things, the moment you begin praying, the moment you begin becoming intercessory in nature, God begins to give you access to sight. And there's a time when I taught on dimensions of sight, right? There are different dimensions of sight. There are times when you just know things. Or you just do things, but you don't know that it's because you saw them. You know, John, they plucked off his eyes. But when they removed his eyes, then he kept saying, I saw in the realm of the spirit. And he saw creatures that only people with eyes should see. So when you begin to pray, don't worry, you begin to see. When you sustain an intercessory culture, you begin to see. Say, I'm a seer. Because I pray. That's it. That's it. All you need to do is to be prayerful. Not to pray, to be prayerful. There's a difference. Okay. Now, the other dream I had. Now, this is important for the entire church and workforce especially. So, in this dream, we had gone somewhere. We had gone somewhere. So, in this dream, we had gone somewhere. It's like we had gone somewhere to eat. We had gone somewhere to eat. It was a big place. We were ministering. We were with members of the workforce, and they were sitting. Members of the workforce, and we were all sitting on a big table. And where I was, the side where I was with where Mass Choir was, right? So, are you following? Yeah. So they served food. Now the food they served was like, for some reason in the dream, that food was like my favorite. It was my favorite food. You know, all kinds of healthy stuff and tasty stuff. Now, in that dream, you all liked that food as well. So, now, I was checking something on my phone, and when I was checking something, I looked away like this. When I came back, I found people had started eating. No prayer, no patience, no considering each other, just greedily eating. I will not say names. I saw this girl. She went with her entire hands and arms like this into the food. Put on a plate, back, and started eating. Then another one didn't care, he was just laughing. Another one was just, there was kafuafua. And the first thing that came out of my mouth when I saw that, I said to myself, I was hurt because, and for some reason, the reason why I was hurt was, but no one is concerned about me. Because even the food that was on my plate, they ate. And my biggest pain was, how come no one cares about me? So when I woke up, God then began to speak to me and began to tell me that there's strife in workforce. There's strife. There is strife in the church that you need to quickly deal with. And while you were concerned about yourself, you were representing the vision. When people do things to each other in a ministry like this, they hurt the vision. So at the end of the day, it's like when you're in a relationship, there are three people. There's you, there's your man, and there's the relationship. Now, every time the two of you have a difference that you refuse to resolve, it is the relationship that suffers. Now, the health of the relationship is what determines how the two of you are going to live with each other. Even just not your man, your friend. The moment you begin to have differences with your friend, there's a third person called the relationship that suffers. So at the end of the day, you need to think of the third person. How would the relationship be the moment we talk to each other like this? The moment we relate with each other like this? So God began to show me that we are having strife. We are not relating to each other properly, and we are growing strife. Now, I'll talk about strife without defining it first. The first situation we have on strife in the Bible is around Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, there's a gentleman called Abraham and his nephew Lot. And the Bible says that when they began to grow in the blessing, their men began to fight over grazing land. So Abraham now says, we shouldn't be fighting because we are brothers. In other words, we shouldn't have strife. Because they used to say, no, your animals were eating on the area that belongs to Lot. And Abraham's men were saying, no, it was your animals that we are eating. And they were fighting. They said, your animals don't get food. And then you don't even try to stop them. And they began to have strife. They began to have strife. Are you seeing that? Are you understanding strife? Genesis chapter 13, actually. So, verse 5 says, Lot went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. So there shouldn't be strife between brethren. But it can be there. And interestingly, some of the causes of strife could be growth, possession. You have possessions. Your department has grown so big, your responsibilities have grown so big that you are failing to communicate. The blessing can cause strife. So that's the first time we see strife. Strife among brothers. The next time we see strife, not the next time really, but another example of strife that I can give you is in the book of Acts chapter 6, I believe. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, are you seeing again? There's something consistent about what brings strife. It's not always just growth, the blessing. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they began to sort it out. They were saying, no, some of us are receiving less food. Others are receiving more food. Strife. They began to fight. Strife is a term used to describe conflict, tension. You will remember? Strife is a term used to describe conflict, tension, or struggle between individuals or groups. It can manifest as disputes, disagreements, grudges, and fights over various issues such as resources, interests, ideologies. So it's a term used to describe conflict, tension, or struggle between individuals or groups. It can manifest as disputes, disagreements, grudges, or fights over various issues such as resources, interests, ideologies. Is that what basically strife is? Conflict, tension can come as a result of having different thinking patterns, different perspectives, offenses, right? The Bible says there was a time when you people, do you remember that Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 were sent by the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, whilst they were praying and fasting, in Acts chapter 13 verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Take me to Acts chapter 13. Verse 2. Do we have it? Okay. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, who said? What should they do? So these guys were supposed to be together according to the calling that God had given them. What happens next? Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they began doing ministry together. But I want you to see what happened in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with him, with them, John called Mark. He was called John Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Paul said, this boy is a betrayer. When we needed him in Pamphylia, he left. We are not going to go with him. It disappointed me. I have an issue with him. Barnabas said, we should learn to forgive. Paul said, you, with the kind of work that we do, would you be saying we should be taking unstable people? This work is serious. We may be beaten. Something may happen. His relatives will come against us and say, we are the ones who are responsible for his death. As God sent us, let's go. Remember how they prayed for us. Yes, I'm not denying that they prayed for us, but what I'm saying is, I think the issue is that you are unforgiving. Are you saying I'm unforgiving? Yes, because that boy disappointed you. You are still touched. No, listen, that's not the issue. I'm just saying he's unstable. No. But we need to give people seven chances. And they're all quoting scriptures. And now they're offended at each other. Huh? The Bible says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Two people that the Holy Spirit called to work together to do ministry split because of strife. Do you know one thing that, let me loosely use the word, scares me about strife? Is that even me, who is your leader, I may not be able to help you sort your differences among each other. Because sometimes you are so hurt. Sometimes you are so disappointed. Let me show you another verse. Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 2. You know, when a church begins to have strife, it's a big problem. It's not a small issue. This thing can disobey the voice of the Spirit. Because there's a certain level of oneness you need to deal with strife. There's a certain level of maturity and selflessness you need to deal with strife. Because, you know, some of us, we just, you know, there are people who the moment they are department member or cell leaders, they will never forget it. No matter how... Okay. I implore Yudia and I implore Sinki to be of the same mind in the Lord. These are women, huh? And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers. He's calling on everyone to help him. These people, their names are written in the book of life. That's what he's saying. They helped him preach the gospel. Let's go. You know, give me the... Give me from verse. You're reading from verse what? Huh? Give me verse 1, sorry. In fact, give it to me in the NLT. From verse 1. Therefore, my beloved... This thing is serious. I'll read the Message Bible. It says, I urge you, dear unseen key, to iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. And then he says, yes, and Zygus, since you are right there to help them work things out, do your best with them. These women worked for the Message hand in hand with Clement and me and with other veterans, worked hard as any of us. Remember, their names are also in the Book of Life. Now, I don't know if you have beef with each other and your names are in the Book of Life, if you even go to heaven. Because then how are you going to stay there? You have a heavenly distance between each other. You like keep a, when the Lord Jesus calls for a meeting, you will not want to be in the same department in heaven. Don't you belong elsewhere? Now, if you listen to this tone, Paul had failed to unite these two women. They are all on fire. Imagine they are all deaconesses, for example, and they all love Jesus. And their names are written in the Book of Life. And they helped Paul to preach. Their own souls healed the sick, cast out demons. But they just hate each other. They had a difference they can't resolve. They are incapable. And Paul tried to sit them down to tell them, guys, can you? They just don't want to see eye to eye. When Paul spoke, and Paul could teach, guys, he failed. Now, he is gone wherever he is. He's still hearing at, those, no, they are still, are they all saving? Yes, when you give them tasks, they are all powerful. How about working together? Yo, time bomb. So now Paul is now writing so that he is helped to help them settle again. He failed. Remember him and Barnabas. So he's now begging other believers, please tell them to be of one mind. Their names are written in the Book of Life. Please, let them come together. Sintki and Yodia. They are just on each other's necks. They hate each other. When they look at each other, they can't believe. They can't believe there's a human being for like this. Maybe sometimes you find this one is a leader, this one is the vice. Then the issue is, but she behaves like she's senior pastor. Or the way he behaves, he doesn't think about what his actions are going to do in terms of affecting us. Or you find that, but I told you that in private, you took it to everyone to see. I said that to you in private. Why didn't you consult me? What I told you, you should have consulted me before you told me. I know you're my leader, but... And then death. You don't know just how much you've damaged someone. Or you've tried to apologize. And the person says, it's fine, but they don't mean it. They are saying that it's fine so that you shut up. Then afterwards, they will do the same thing. Now they will offend you more, then you offend them back. And then now the thing is just cancerous now. Now the thing is just all over the place and it begins to drag. You know, there's a wisdom in the spirit for living with people. There's a wisdom for living with people. Because the moment we don't handle this thing, the whole vision will become slow. The way my wife says it. It will become slow. I mean, look at that. Two powerful women whose names are in the book. These are saved. They are saved and they save. But they just can't seem to be settling their argument. There's strife among them. It's hot. You can even tell they've never sat together on the same seat in church. They would rather keep their distance so that they can serve God without thinking too much. Yeah, Yes, I've forgiven you, but you're not coming back into the garden. You are lying. The issue is not that you don't want him back in the garden. The issue is that somehow you are still disappointed. So now you are not trusting. You are afraid of the person. Now, how you are treating your fear is that it's beginning to produce strife. That person thinks you need to go back to how close you were. Now, you've not communicated exactly that. You need a few more days. So when the person now comes and discovers that you can't be as close as you used to be before they offended you, they now feel like, ah, but I thought he's a Christian. He should have forgiven me. Oh, he's keeping things in the heart. Ah, even now that also adds to the... This thing, it's not a demon that causes it, huh? And it makes it very difficult to deal with it. That's one of the reasons that makes it difficult. Because it's not a demon. You are helping the demon in this dimension. In this, you are helping Satan. The moment there is strife, Satan goes to rest. Because now you become like an autoimmune disease. You are fighting yourselves. You know what an autoimmune disease is? Huh? When the body begins to fight itself. The white blood cells now begin to eat the red blood cells. They say, ah, enemy. There's madness in the immune system. The body begins to fight against itself. And you know what happens when the body begins to fight against itself? The other infections begin to have a party now. The guards are not there. The guards are fighting with the employers. And the TVs are just here, there. Now again, praise God. What causes strife? In no particular order, poor communication. Don't, can I put it this way? Mean what you say and say what you mean. Don't assume people are in your head. And then this communication thing now, it's so broad. I'll need like a day, but here's what I can advise you. Communicate efficiently. The idea of communication is not just communicating. It's what you are communicating. Who you communicate that to. You are communicating that. And how you deliver the message. You can say a very good thing, meaning it very well. But the person you are talking to, you shouldn't be saying that. It's like when the Bible says, do not take precious pearls and cast them to swine. So there are certain words you must know the person you are talking to. Because if you have strife, there are people you can't correct. If you come to correct me over a mistake I did, we will have strife. You don't correct me, you advise me. And even in the advice, you come like you're the one who needs help. There's a wisdom. Because you could be right. And you need to communicate so that I know that, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But maybe you should talk to my wife. Because if it's you who comes for me now, I'll just come for you. So there are people there, you don't tell them things. Then there are people who you tell them. The Bible says, rebuke or correct an elderly man as if he was your father. So there's a way you even correct people who are older than you. You know Mrs. Pierce. She makes mistakes. But the way I correct Mrs. Pierce is not the way I will correct Dumisani. That's my mother. So if Mrs. Pierce made a mistake, well, you know what has made her? Those things make her people like that comfortable. Because they feel respected. For crying out loud, the woman is 50. I've never been 50. I want to be 50. So I need to be careful how I do it. She call me daddy, daddy. I also call her mommy, mommy. I'm also looking for something. So when I am her pastor, and I need to correct her. But then for Dumisani, I'll say, can you get out of there? How dare you? But if she's in that place, I'll say, ah, mommy, oh, I don't think you should be there. You need to leave that place. It's how. Also, there are people in the same church. You find there are people who, they have short tempers. There's a way you deal with people who have short tempers. You are the leader, yes. You just can't say, now, these are people who God is also helping. They don't have their maturity. So if you now just do a one-size-fits-all, and you just rebuke everyone like this. There are some people who, everyone else, and sometimes it's not that you are wrong. Huh? Sometimes it's that they are wrong, but the strife will still come. So you as a leader, you are the right. But you still inspired strife. So you know, say, you know what? You just deal with everyone. Bah! There are some people, they are happy. They say, oh, thank you for correcting us. You know, last Sunday, there were people, when I preached, I was telling people to behave and all those things. Some people texted me to say, no, thank you so much for talking to me. Some people, oh, it's their last time. You can't talk to us like that. Jesus died for us. So they are done with me and my wife. They are just done with everything I stand for. They'll go to COL or some other nice church. So you say it like this. You say it. Bah! Some people, you didn't even mention any number plate. They will hear their name. I know there it's me you are talking about. Even the way your eye moved like this. They will see the way your eye moved. You don't remember your eye moving. You are legit innocent. But they will feel like you called their name. And they will never be active for the next 3 months because of how you made them feel. Especially females. Females. Huh? Females was taken from feelings. So you see, they can't even take a joke. And it's them who did the most. It's okay. Can't even take a joke. They don't take a joke. They just leave it. Say, there's a joke here. So when you're communicating, sometimes you need to be sensitive when you're communicating. You need to know who you're talking to. Then it enables you to know what to say. And how to say it. That causes strife. So maybe what Barnabas would have done is not just suddenly there's John Mark in the car. Now Paul is feeling disrespected because God said he's sending us. He didn't say you are my leader. So you need to consult me. No, but I thought, no, you should have communicated. And then he says, no, wait, before you go further, your issue is you don't want to forgive this boy. And then, kikiri kikiri. So maybe, what Barnabas should have done is said, you know, I was thinking, maybe we could give this boy a second chance. I'm just imagining anyways. Personality clashes can cause strife. Personality clashes. Some people are just naturally quiet. Some people are outgoing. No, but you are always quiet. We all need to say something. You are always, me, I've never understood. They all said we are all coordinators. You are always quiet. They all said we are all retention officers. You are just quiet. Oh, no. We are not your workers. I didn't say you are my workers. I never told you that. No, okay. Mwandi, sorry for saying that. But all we are saying is, every time it's me to write a report, all of you don't like preparing reports. If I don't prepare a report, no one will. I'm tired. No, but I thought you were the one tasked with it. No, and then the whole thing is now you don't even see eye to eye. Because this one is always quiet, this one is outgoing. When this one joined the department, you say, no, but when you joined the department, you made it look like you can do all things through Christ. Then us, we can do few things through Christ. And then, now suddenly you want help. Now they also want to see something when they don't help you. They want to see something. And then, now you both see strife. Personality clashes. This one talks too much, this one doesn't. This one is insensitive. And this one, you know, sometimes the other problem is there are people who are too sensitive. They are too sensitive. What Ninkolabale is answer to sort. Just too sensitive. Anything. So you find that there are people, you know, some people are very strong, or people, she's insensitive, but you don't see that the problem is you are too sensitive. You can't take a blow. You can't take a word. Niche, you have melted. You are too sensitive. Let me talk about that. Normally, people only bash people who are too sensitive. Who are too insensitive. But there's a character flaw. It's a character flaw where people are too sensitive. You can't even correct them. You know where chumbu munshololwa is? Let me explain to you. You know a sweet potato? Huh? You can't straighten a sweet potato. When you try to straighten a sweet potato, it will break for you. So there are people who are sweet potatoes cannot be. The moment you just say, they're a sacred calf. Too sensitive. You can't take a... In an environment like this, where God wants to grow people, God wants to grow people. He wants to grow us in numbers. You must be able to take a blow. Because God is in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that there are many people who left this church out of offense? Did the church reduce in number? In fact, do you know how painful it is for when you leave, then the church doubles? You now realize, I could have been the potential problem. I could have been the potential problem. Imagine, there are people I really loved and honored. I would have really wanted them to be here. And I thought when they leave, my goodness, because these are people who are gifted by God in my life. But the moment they left, other people came in my life. Some even come to church once in a while and they're just like, wow. And I saw one being welcomed by hospitality. Thank you, you are welcome. And he's looking like this. I'm thinking, And now I'll admit that I was thinking for him. He's saying, what? I started this church. How dare you welcome me? And then the usher takes him. You can't sit here. Sit here when he wants to sit. Sorry. sit there. Too sensitive. And I'm not saying those who left, that's why they left. I'm just giving analogies. Too sensitive. You need to have imisula. Sula kola pepa. But I don't know what... Some of you come from families with crazy people. They put the Z in crazy. Crazy was cray until your family members put a Z there because Niva last. So they put a Z there. But you still say, oh, my brother, you are a hypocrite. Because instead of having that same level of patience, here you are just like a snail that they have put salt on. Too sensitive. Everything is... You've seen when you put salt on a snail? Hallelujah. Strife.